Angels are spirit messengers sent by God to serve those who are going to be saved. Angels aren't just angels. We don't worship angels. They're sent by God to serve His children. They serve. And they, of course, they worship the Lord 24/7, all eternity in heaven. But they're sent to serve. And this morning, did you guys realize that there's a lot of angels in here today? You know, it's interesting. I'm just curious, out of y'all, how many of you were conscious or saw or aware of angels in this building today? Raise your hand. Well, like at least a third of us, you know, one out of every four or something like that. You know why they're here? Because Jesus sent them, because He knows you. They're here to serve. This morning, there's things, like I believe one of the things God wants to do today, He doesn't want us to leave without encountering Jesus. We say, be lifted up, be lifted up, be lifted up. And then, are you expecting to have an encounter with the living God today? And encountering Him changes everything. If you're down, He lifts you up. If you're hurting, He heals your pain. If you're hopeless, He gives you hope. One of the things I believe angels could do when they come is they ministered to Jesus in the desert after He fasted for 40 days and was tempted by the devil. The Bible says angels came to Him and met His needs. They ministered to Him. This morning, there's angels here. And the thing is that we don't worship angels. They're sent by Him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Father and Holy Spirit. But He sends angels, and I believe He sent them today so that you would know that you matter. They're here for you, sent by God to you. And I think that's just a huge thing that that if we don't, we need to submit to God's will. And if His will is to send you an angel to make you feel better, then take it. Don't be hard-headed. Don't be stupid, in the nicest form of the word. Take what He wants to give you today. Yeah, but I want to be depressed. Oh, come on, really? Well, I want to be angry. Oh, yeah, that's an angel, but it's not. It's a fallen angel. His name is called anger. It's a demon. No, God's angels bring peace and love and joy. They take away burdens. They lift you up when you're down. This is really cool. I've got a really special thing I want to do today, and I need a volunteer. And I know it's not the military. Don't never volunteer. This would be good. So I just need a volunteer. I need a volunteer. I'm looking for anyone that looks semi-nice. There's somebody trying to come in the back. No, you got to be out here. Okay, hold on. I'll do it later. That's too many people volunteering. I'm getting a little confused. I know you ever been on. Have any of you ever been here? Have you ever been to the place where they're picking teams? Like, remember when you were kids and they're picking teams and you want to be picked? And it's like, pick me, pick me, pick me. And everybody just is like, you're invisible. You know? Yeah, I know. Y'all know what that's like when you don't get picked. You know what that feels like to not get picked? The bathroom's out the back door on the right. You can go if you want to. So, you know, it hurts to not get picked, doesn't it? Like, why should I pick her? Besides, she can whip me. Other than that, why should I pick her, right? just hang on. We'll talk about it later, okay? You can go back and sit down, please. Okay, I'm back. You know, we understand what that's like. You understand what it's like to not get picked? Do you really? So today we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 1 and talking about the shame-free gospel, and we're going to do that again today, right? And but I'm really thinking of something today. This is not, okay, this is Bible study. I'm encouraging you to read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 in every version you can find, as much as you can understand, meditate upon it, focus on it, because it really is true. And the very heart of God that comes out, I know, it's like, what have you ever done that, why should I pick you? Isn't that how we feel? When we don't get picked, we feel like there's a reason we didn't get picked. Isn't that true? It's how we know what that feels like, to not be on the team, to not get chosen, to get left behind, to be overlooked. You ever had people look right over your head? I mean, Marion, it happens all the time. She's only 5 foot tall, but she wants me to pick her. Because when somebody picks you, it's special. You're special. In Ephesians chapter 1, you know what verse 1 says? My name's Paul, and I was chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus the Messiah. You know, it's like when you think about Paul's life, he was one of those guys who wanted to get picked. He was a self-made man. He was self-sufficient. He was extremely good at everything. He was a man's man. And in Israel, in his day and time, he got lifted up faster and farther. He got picked for everything above all of his peers, the scriptures say. He got picked. He was the dude, you know. And that's how we think in our world. That's how we think. We actually think people get picked because of how good they are. Or maybe they're not good enough. Or maybe they don't matter. Maybe they're a failure. Maybe they've messed up too many times. You know, in God's world, it's not like that. You know, we all have that thing inside of us screaming, pick me. I want to make a difference. I want to matter. I want people to love me. I want to help people. I want to be successful. Pick me. It's something inside of us that we're created to need to be needed, to need to have a purpose, a destiny, to be wanted, you know? We all are. And Paul had that same thing. But Paul, the apostle who was Saul before he met Jesus on the road to Emmaus, Paul was like the best of the best of the best. And you know, but something changed that day. He got broken. He lost everything. He went from the height to the lowest low. I mean, Jesus himself said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus. I'm the anointed one that you've spent your whole life hoping would come. And I came, and now you're persecuting me and my children. And it crushed Paul. I don't know if any of us could ever be broken the way he was broken that day. I mean, he was blind. He had a physically knocked off the horse. He was broken. He was no longer up here in society. In his own eyes or anybody else's, he's at the bottom of the heap. And you know, I think that we keep asking ourselves that question, why should anybody pick me? Why should I be happy? Why would I matter? That's the things that go on in our minds. Even when we're like Paul and we've accomplished everything, there's this little voice in the back of our mind that questions us and questions us and questions us and whispers little things in our ears like, you'll never be good enough. You'll never get past this. You'll never get over that. No one will ever love you. you won't ever make a difference. You know, it's like as I'm reading this, I'm like, there's some absolutes in Scripture. There are absolutes, and this is an absolute. Paul said this, I was chosen by God. Well, guess what he said right after that? The very next thing he said, I'm writing this letter to all the devoted believers who have been made holy by being one with Jesus, the Anointed One. You see, I think we start with the foundation that's wrong. It's a terrible foundation. We start with the wrong foundation. Here's the truth. On our own, as humans, we cannot resist the devil. On our own. Now hear me in this. The devil's not God. He's already been defeated. He's a fallen angel. There was never a competition with the Father. But he is an angel. He's a fallen angel. But I'm telling you, in your own, on your own, as a self-made man, a self-made woman, as someone who pulls yourself up by your own bootstraps and does everything, I'm a strong, you cannot resist the darkness. That's the truth. Now, you also, on your own, cannot walk on water. I can't either. You can't find motivation. You can't find perseverance. You can't find discipline. You can't find those supernatural ideas for business and education and the world and the government. You can't do it on your own. Now, that's the truth. It's like this. So there's a family. Good family. Love their kids. And they have a baby. They have a little baby. They have a little girl. And the devil breaks into their home, sneaks into their house, and kidnaps their daughter and takes her away and brainwashes her and makes her mean as a snake and teaches her his ethics and his morals and his way of living and completely destroys that young girl. And then here's what we do. Well, you're a bad baby. You're a bad baby. Babies aren't bad if they get kidnapped. Right? I mean, is that a bad baby because the devil took her? No, it's a bad devil. But that's not a bad baby. The baby got took. And we do that with humanity. That's what happened to humanity. You were never bad. You just got overpowered. You can't resist the devil without Jesus. Well, I don't need Jesus. Oh, yes, you do. No, I can make it with my intelligence and my stamina and my discipline and my self-esteem and my self-motivation. I am self-motivated. Keep trying that. Because without Jesus, you're not going to make it because the devil is going to steal your motivation. The devil's going to steal your self-esteem. The devil's going to steal your self-control. The devil's going to steal your self-discipline. You put self in front of anything and the devil wins that battle. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You see, it's interesting because when you talk about it, who makes us holy? Jesus. And you know, when you read this passage, you read it in any version, it's we were already made holy. It's already happened because Jesus is the Anointed One. So it's like I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was like, you know, and this person's an expert with power tools, you know, that plug into the wall and stuff. Except old power tools, not the new ones with batteries, the kind that used to have plug-ins. And we're just talking, and it's like, you know, the truth is, every one of us are like an extension cord. You know? We are. And as long as the extension cord's plugged into the wall and plugged into the saw, power comes. And that's what we do. Do you want the power of God in your life? You want to walk on water? You want to live above the world we live in? Plug in. Plug in. Your cord's good because Jesus has already set you free. So guess who does all this? Guess who decided to pick you? The same one that picked Paul. Paul was in a mess and in a hole that we would have never dreamed he could dig himself out of. And the truth is, he couldn't. He just connected with Jesus. So you look what happened to Paul. May God himself, the heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, release grace over you and impart total well-being into your lives. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father and the Father of our Lord Jesus, because he sees us. So you know how God sees you? He sees you as beautiful, as wonderful, full of life, purpose, destiny. He sees you as you can be. When he looks at you, that's what he sees. Now, you know what's funny? We'll argue with him. I think it's crazy. We will argue with him. You know, if there were 100 kids up here right now playing in a beautiful orchestra, and they'd won the state competition in Arkansas, and they get to come here, and they all get up on stage, and they all have their instruments, and you know what? This building, we wouldn't hold the 600-700 parents and uncles and aunts and grandmas and grandpas that come to watch their kid play. Right? That's what would happen. Like, if you have 100 kids, you're going to have 500 or 600, 700 people that came to watch that kid because that's their kid. And if everybody has their VCRs out or their camcorders or whatever, they're not going to be recording your kid. They're going to be recording their kid. That's how God sees you. And you know why he does that? Because he chose to. Not you. It's not your choice. He chose to. Before anything was created. When you read more of this passage, he chose us to be his very own. And joining us to himself even before he laid the foundations of the universe. So here's the truth. It's like we've been brainwashed not to think that we've been in bondage. We've been brainwashed to think that we're bad. That's what we were told. That's not what happened at all. We were kidnapped. We were taken captive. And no more did God look at us and say, bad baby, than we would look at a child who just got kidnapped. We wouldn't. That's not a bad baby. And that's what happened to us. And so it's always been his perfect plan. God's plan was to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the anointed one. So that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For that same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan makes him happy, brings him great pleasure. So here's what's happening. God loves you. He loves me. Every one of us have been picked. Because he chose to. He sees every potential in you. He sees a future and a destiny. He sees every good thing welling up inside of you. When he looks at you, he just brims with pride. And it just makes him happy. Now, the problem is, we don't believe that. We've got good reason to not believe it, because we can tell you our history. We can tell you our mistakes. We can tell you our failures. We can tell you what happened yesterday and what we wish was happening today that's not happening today. You see, you argue with God all the time, and it's not according to Scripture. It's not according to what Paul said. Paul was very clear. He said, I was chosen by God, and so were you. Every one of us handpicked, bought by his son's blood. And extremely valuable and worthy. So, you know, I look at this. So what's going on in the world? What's going on in my life, in your life? How come all this bad stuff's happening? Why has there been this kind of harvest in our country, in our town, in our families? What's going on? Well, it's real simple. When you're in union with God, you can resist the devil. When you're not in union with him, you can't. Well, so what's the only thing that matters? Him. Your relationship with him. Now, you know what what's funny is we forget this is an unfolding plan. It's like God's purpose is for us to grow. And we judge ourselves based on, actually, we don't even get to judge ourselves. Paul said he didn't judge himself. God judges me. I don't judge me. You see, we're growing. Your only thing you get to judge is, are you walking in union with him? Are you walking in harmony with him? Are you living with him? That's what you get to judge. Because everything comes from him. Like you just can't imagine how big a deal it is how big a deal Jesus really is. I love that we sang all those songs we sang today because every one of them was actually lifting him up. But anytime you put you down, you're not lifting him up. Because you know that he's better than you're bad. He's gooder than you're not good. It's like you can be as bad as you want to be, and you still can't resist his love. He's going to win. He is, guys. And it's like, we don't think that. We believe that the devil's going to win. Since we are now joined to Christ, we've been given the treasures of redemption by his blood. The total cancellation of our sins. Now, that's in the scripture. Now, when I read that, what I read is that word redemption, I understand what that means. It means we've been freed from slavery. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he set the captives free. Now, it's beautiful because you know what he set us free for? He set us free to be free. We can live a life in connection with him, or we can try to do it ourselves. We get to choose. Every human on earth, you and me, we all get to choose how much we're going to connect with Jesus, our Savior, or are we going to live our way? So that's constantly happened. When we live our way, we can't resist the devil. When we live with him, his power comes through us and overcomes the devil. It's what happened with Jesus. I know Vicki Warren had a great picture this morning of when Jesus was on the cross and he was going. You know, he had a power working inside of him that even every demon and death couldn't stop him. Like, God doesn't take us out of the world. He puts us in the world to overcome the darkness, and it brings him glory. Brings him glory. Like, he's like, look at me in my kid. You know, I think about because we're taking up the offering for the House of Faith for Women this month. And it goes through the end of the month. So if you don't have it today, we do it through. It's November, the month of giving. So it's through the end of November. We'll still be taking that money up. But I think about Tommy. And I don't know all the details of his life. I do have a good friend that was arrested by him when he was in Officer Jacksonville. And my friend deserved to get arrested. He was a druggie, you know. And so I'm sure Tommy, he was a cop for a long time, right? Just a man. Just a man. That's all, you know. And I'm sure if any of you know people that have lived in that world for 20 or 30 years, it's a tough world, right? But you know what God's plan is? His unfailing purpose. His detailed plan. God has a plan, and it's going to reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages. Y'all know that nothing can stop God's plan. Nothing can stop our Father. And God's going to make all things new in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. And then he says, here's God's plan. He tells us what the plan is. Through our union with Christ, we are his inheritance. So I was just thinking of what Tommy did with House of Faith for Women. And I don't know all the details of what he did. But here was a man who worked as a police officer. And if any of you have been in that world, you know that's a tough world. Not a lot of appreciation. It's tough. I mean, any of the first responders have a hard job in our world, right? In the medical field, in the police field, it's hard. And you can become jaded. You can become bitter. You get used to, you know, ask Tommy how many people have lied to him. It's like, everybody? Yeah, that's the world. But something got that man's heart. And something inside of him said, Tommy. And God gave him an idea to do something. And it's unbelievable what's happened. He wasn't rich. He couldn't finance it on his own. He was a cop. He was a detective in Jacksonville Police Department. And God gave him an idea to create a place to help people find Jesus and be set free from bondage and darkness. And that little idea has become what we're giving to this month. And I don't even know how long it took. But I want to tell you, it was God. All God needed was a human. Tommy decided, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to do this. And he started. And I think about Tommy, and like we were going to do a graduation day, but it's been put off. But like I think about him, and you know, he's a pretty big guy, right? Y'all saw him when he came and visited. Pretty big guy. And I haven't heard these words, but I guarantee you these are his girls. Like, don't mess with them. Don't hurt them. Those are my girls. And as long as he has anything to do with it, you're not going to. And you know what? That's how God looks at you. That's how God looked at Tommy when God said, that's my boy Tommy. And I'm sure everything inside of Tommy was fighting with God. I can't do this. I'm not a politician. I'm not a money raiser. I'm not a preacher. I'm a cop. I say bad words sometimes. You know, I don't know. I'm just making fun of Tommy, you know. I guarantee you, just like you guys, I lose my temper. Oh, I bet he does. I would have slapped my friend if I'd have been Tommy, and he might have. He deserved it if he did. So my friend was just a jerk. But I'm telling you that God chose him, and everything in Tommy's world was saying, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it, quit, stop, you'll never make it. You've just live your life, go be retired like everybody else and forget this thing. But something in Tommy said, yes, I believe. I believe in God. I believe in God's power working through me. And I believe when that happened, I'm telling you, every one of us in this room have that same thing inside of us. We just don't believe it. Every one of us. For one thing, we do this crazy thing of putting things in a hierarchy. Well, this is important and this is not important. What if your thing is never seen or never heard? It's not on stage. What if your thing that God has chosen for you to accomplish? So I'm going to tell you, this is what it's like. Y'all know the Marvel superheroes, Avengers, those people. It's a big, you know, if you're whatever. If you watch that stuff in movies. You know, the Avengers have this guy named Thor. He's that's a cartoon, right? Thor's like a type of god. But Thor, he has a hammer. Hammer of something. It's a big hammer. And that hammer is supernatural. But you know what's interesting with that hammer? Only Thor can pick it up. Like, that hammer's got a vibrating power inside of it that matches the vibrating power inside of Thor. And when Thor sticks his hand out, it doesn't matter where that hammer is, it'll go through a planet. It's going to hit his hand. And it fills Thor with power. And he can fly and he can do all this crazy stuff. But do you know what? When you try to pick up Thor's hammer, you can't pick it up. That's the power of God working inside of each one of us. There's a vibration only in you that matches a vibration in heaven. And when your vibration and heaven vibrations touch, it releases power from God on this planet. And it may be to help one child. It may be to do something physical. It may be in the entertainment business. I don't care where it goes, but God gets the glory when you grab the hammer. So Tommy grabbed a hammer. He said, God, I'm going to do this for you. And when Tommy reached out and grabbed that hammer, all of a sudden, bam! Now, it took years. I said, all of a sudden. The power began the day Tommy said yes. And he chose to believe something that's unbelievable. God, you can use me? God, me? You see, most of us are like Marion. We volunteer and we never get picked. It's not true in the kingdom. Every one of us were handpicked by God. And through our union with Jesus, that's grabbing the hammer. When we walk with Jesus, I mean, I don't care when you go shopping. I don't care if, when you go to work tomorrow. It doesn't matter. When you know, Angie's got a great, Angie, come up here for a second. I'm going to make fun of Angie. she's my friend. She's actually my sister's friend. Angie does something crazy. Now, Angie's almost perfect, so y'all don't be jealous. Your mom's not here, is she?
No.
Okay, good. Angie, tell us about the car.
Okay, because I've got something that added on to it, you know.
Oh.
Okay, so when I would get in my car, I don't have a radio, so I can, that's my God time. So when I get in my car, the first thing I say is, thank you, Jesus, and then I start rolling with whatever's going on. And I'll talk to God all the way to I go to NA and celebrate recovery. I mean, that's usually the only time that I'm in my car, but I'm talking to God all the time. But when I get in my car now, I was at a women's retreat, and I had a lady share something with me that, because I shared about me talking to Jesus and him being in my car. Well, she said, buckle him in. And then when you get out of the car, unbuckle him so he can go in with you. And let me just tell you, when you don't unbuckle Jesus to go in, you see the results of not unbuckling Jesus and him going in. Because you will not have the same kind of day if you don't unbuckle Jesus so he can go in. But yes, that's what I do.
Oh.
I buckle Jesus in when I get in the car, and I'm getting better at unbuckling him so he can go in.
Did you get out?
Because there for a little while, I had to get used to getting him out of the car.
Oh, I understand. Give me that mic. You need to go sit down. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Angie's doing it. Well, has her life totally been transformed? What? Listen, it's unfolding. It's unfolding. Quit, judge yourself by one thing. Are you doing life with Jesus? You mean you want us all to be schizophrenic and talk to someone who's not there? If his name's Jesus, he is there. On the cross, I'm sorry, it's true, isn't it? On the cross, Jesus was like, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who is he talking to? Well, they couldn't see it. And when he got baptized in the Jordan, the heavens opened, and Jesus heard his dad. This is my son. I'm proud of him. The other people said they heard thunder. Well, Jesus is schizophrenic? I don't think so. You know, what if all you have to do is do life with Jesus? What if that was it? All Tommy decided to do was to respond to what he felt like Jesus was saying. He made a choice. And when Tommy put his hand on that hammer, God has a hammer for every one of us. But you're the only one who can pick up your hammer. And the funny thing is, it's all equal. Maybe we'll never start a ministry that touches 1,000 people. Maybe all we'll do is touch one third grader. Maybe all we'll do is help one person who is unknown. Nobody talks to. There's no books, no TV, no movie cameras. But maybe that person was the person God said, that's your hammer. Grab it. And you do it and you're faithful. And the power of God brings life to someone as they're dying. And Jesus is like, well done. It's equal. You see, God's power is what works through all of us. And whether it's giving you wisdom to make good choices, giving you self-control, giving you perseverance, giving you patience and love and kindness, however God chooses to work through each one of us is God's choice. But altogether, it's God's plan to bring honor and glory to Himself. And you know what? His plan for the world wasn't for Jesus to come back and turn everything upside down. His plan for the world was for you and me to bring His life into this world now. That's His plan. And we do it every time we buckle Him in. I don't do that personally, Edgy. I mean, I'd be a little embarrassed. But I understand. Yeah, it's I know. Yeah, you know, one of my daughter-in-law says, you do you. And I'm like, I'm not really sure what that means, but I think it means you do you with Jesus. And that's good. It's our union with Christ that God claims us as His inheritance. That we, read that last sentence up there, verse 11, chapter 1, that we would fulfill the plan of God. It was His plan before He ever created the world. You were His plan. You are His plan. Now, you need to get rid of your butt. Butts. Get rid of your butts, right? I'm not God's plan. Yeah, but what about this? And what about this? But what about that? No. Why don't you give in to God and admit that you're His plan? Choose to believe. You know, it's funny when you read this, you keep going, God's going to do it. He'll either do it dragging you by your hair or by your feet, or He'll do it. He's going to do it. You might as well enjoy the process with Him and experience love and joy and peace and gentleness and experience His power. Walk on the water with Him. I love this. It's like, and you know what happens? It happened first to believe. That's what Paul said in verse 12. The Jews, who were the first to long for the messianic hope, would be the first to believe the Anointed One. Will you trust God and believe Him? And then he says, because of you who are not Jews heard the revelation of truth. You know what truth they heard? You're not bad. You don't have to earn anything. It's all Jesus. Will you walk with Him? Will you trust Him that He will do it all if you walk with Him? Will you believe that? Or do you believe that's not true? That's the battle we go on every day. Every one of us have that same battle. I'm glad Tommy won that battle when it came to the House of Faith for Women. He had the same battle. What's God wanting you to believe? Will you trust Him? You see, it's all about trusting Him, not trusting you. Him. He is our hope promise of a future inheritance which seals us until we have all of redemption's promises and experience complete freedom, all for the supreme glory and honor of God. You remember what redemption means? Redemption means the payment to release a slave. It's a ransom demanded to release a captive. That's what redemption is. Well, that's God's promise? Yeah. Jesus promised, and He did it. He set you free. Now you get to choose to buckle Him in and unbuckle Him or to just live on your own. But I'm going to tell you, you can't resist the devil on your own. You're going to lose that battle every time. God's grace keeps us alive, but I can't resist the devil, and I can't walk on water alone. So you know what? I'd rather live with Him, and it all brings glory and honor to God. You know, there's a lot more verses. I really do. It all, you know where wisdom and revelation come from? Through your intimacy with Him. That's where it comes from. You know where power comes from? Intimacy with Him. You know where perseverance comes from? Intimacy with Him. You know where wisdom comes from? Intimacy with Him. Do you know where the supernatural effects in the world comes from? Intimacy with Him. It's all through Him. So our goal, I want you to experience His presence today. A lot of us already encountered Him in worship this morning. We encountered Him in words. We encountered Him today. But I want you to have an encounter with God, because that's everything. Your life will change if you encounter Him. And the more often you encounter Him, the more He's going to build you up until eventually God gets His inheritance through you. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Guess how you have a relationship with God? By believing, by trusting, by faith. You know, Angie said it in a funny way. She, by faith, buckles Jesus in next to her in the car. It's just faith. I believe He's there. I trust Him. I believe You, God. You say that I'm good, I believe You. More than I believe myself. And every time you do that, He changes you. And He empowers you, and He gives us more strength. So it's sort of funny. Then I love the way he translated this verse. When you live in intimacy with, in relationship, in union with Him, your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. So quit begging Jesus to come, unless you're asking Him to come through you. Because the scriptures are clear. He wants to do it through us. We are His plan. He chose that. And this is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead, and He put Christ above every ruler, every authority, every government and realm of power. Guys, who's in charge of everything? Jesus. What are you worried about? Well, have you looked at the economy? Who's in charge of the economy? Now, I believe that's true. By faith, I believe it's true. And every time I do, God works something in us. So guys, today I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to trust God. Because you know what it says in the last verse in chapter 1? And now we, His church, are His body on the earth, that which fills Him who is being filled by it. That's a tough verse to translate if you go study it in Greek. It's a hard verse, but it's basically Jesus and us are one. And when we are filled with Him, He's filled with us. And the earth is filled with His glory. And that's His plan. And it's unstoppable, unchangeable. You can't defeat Him. You can't convince Him it's not true. It is true. Now, guys, we get to trust Him. Do you trust God in you? Is there something in your life that is telling you no? That's arguing against what God's wanting to do in you? You see, Jesus is better. So this morning, I believe God wants to encounter us. I really do. I think angels are here. They're here to minister to God's people. And God wants to equip you. He wants to release you into your destiny. And it changes everything. That changes everything. You quit living waiting for to go to heaven, and you bring heaven to earth, and it glorifies God. This will glorify God with who we are. And it doesn't matter how big or small it is. It's all supernatural. So this morning, I was like, I didn't really know how I was going to do this, because I really do believe that we all have a place here in this. I believe that God wants us all to make those steps that Tommy made when he started House of Faith for Women. He took a risk. He believed. He stepped out on faith and said, God, use me. And God did. He grabbed the hammer. I believe there's something every one of us needs to deal with in our lives. You need to be set free from that lies that are saying you're not good enough. They're saying you can't do it. They're saying you're too far gone. You need to be free of that. You need to repent for believing a lie and believe what God says. He says you're his inheritance, just like Paul. Well, is that true? I believe it's true. So if you would, if you'd stand up with me, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. Sorry, Vicky, I couldn't make that work in my head. Vicky has a great word for today, but I couldn't make it work in my head. So let's just pray, see what God wants to do. So let's just wait on him. So believe it or not, he's standing right beside you right now. And he's here. But we have a part to play. You see, I believe right now you can reach out and you can put your arm around him. You know, like he's a real person. I believe you can. And when you do that, you're just saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you. Maybe you're fighting a battle with darkness and you're not always winning. But you can't defeat the devil without him. And you need to quit judging yourself, thinking that you should be able to do it when you can't. You can only defeat the darkness with Jesus. So if you're battling something in your life right now and you haven't been able to break through, you haven't been able to get through it, just in your mind and in your heart, reach out and pull Jesus in close. That means you got to open your heart up. Open your heart and pull Jesus in close. You can hold him. Just grab him right now. Now you can put your head against his chest. You can rest your head on his shoulder. You can lean into him. Just do that right now. You don't have to say anything. Just put your head against him. Now let him hold you. As you're letting him hold you, that stuff is being broken off of you right now. He's breaking the power of those thoughts. He's breaking those habits. He's breaking those chemical addictions. He's setting you free right now. So just tell him, Jesus, I need you. I need you. Now just breathe, okay? Just breathe. Now I bind every dark spirit that has been oppressing you. I bind every spirit that's been lying to you, that's been manipulating your world, I bind those spirits, and I command you to release everything you've stolen. I command every lie you've been speaking to be exposed, and I send you to go stand before the Lord. Now, Jesus, I just ask you to come now. Jesus, would you speak to each one of the people, each one of us that are holding you right now? He loves you. He really, really, really loves you. He picked you. He chose you. He wants you on His team. Now, God, I pray for my friends who are in that other camp that, God, they need you. They need your power. They need your strength to accomplish, to be, to impact this world. God, so I just release your power now, that they would quit trying to do it on their own. God, I ask that you would break that deception that we just need to work harder and do more and be more. God, I release every person here right now that's suffering that. And Jesus, that you're grabbing you is what releases the power to accomplish the supernatural, to be who you've created us to be. So God, every one of us who have not had the strength and the power to walk this thing out, God, I ask that we would see a new way of living, that it wouldn't be about what we're doing, it'd be about you. So God, I just ask that you'd give us that intimacy and that relationship that we've longed for. And I just thank you, King. So I just thank you for being here this morning. We're going to have people up here up front that would love to pray with you if you have something going on. Also, if you would like to see in the supernatural more, you might want to come up and let somebody pray for you. We also have a couple of you guys who see angels all the time. Would y'all come up here? Y'all come up over by the communion table. Just two or three of you. Come on, don't be shy. You're going to get to, because that's just a gift from the Lord. Jesus, of course, walked in that, right? So yeah, so Jessica, if you and Jennifer would pray together. If you'd like to walk more in the Spirit than you do, those two young ladies who are both over 40, would love to pray with you, okay? So it's a gift. God can give that gift to you. If you desire that, Jesus will meet you there, okay? So thank you. God bless you guys, and y'all have a great Sunday.